That's right. It's called your sword. I mean, as you don't carry your weapon, you're in trouble. Now, normally I don't care a bit to push this away, but I've got to obey the Lord, and I don't know really, honestly, I don't even know what time it is. I lost my watch this morning. I really did. I lost it. I lost it coming to church. It broke or something, and I can't find it. I looked for it earlier, and I couldn't find it. I said, I guess the Lord's saying, don't worry about it. It all belongs to me anyway. How many knows it all belongs to God? Amen. I appreciate all these awesome things. Those are treasures. And as a teacher, down through the years, I've collected a lot of things that kids have given us, and ministry and church, and it's all awesome. It's and I don't take those things lightly. Kathy and I, we are. Those are treasures to us. So, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with us to the book of Hebrews. What an awesome book, the book of Hebrews. It's a powerful book. It's a powerful book. Powerful book. All kinds of awesome things in the book of Hebrews. And if you have your Bible, you can turn with us to Hebrews chapter 3. Okay? Hebrews chapter 3. And if you're there, say amen. Amen. Now this morning, I am not, honestly, we don't plan on anything, any kind of time, put any time on it. But listen, I don't want to drag things out either. So when the Holy Spirit shut down, we shut down, okay? Because I don't want to go in my own strength. I can't do that anyway. So Hebrews chapter 3, we're going to read some powerful scriptures here, beginning at verse 1, okay? Then we're going to go somewhere else in the Bible, in the Word of God. We're going to be looking at some different places in the Word of God. Okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You all right, Zach? Hallelujah. Okay. I tell you, there is a powerful presence of Jesus in this place today. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3, he says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Amen. First of all, they say calling. God has a calling on every individual here today. God has called. Before men appear before Jesus in judgment, nobody will stand before him and say, I was never called. A salvation will have appeared to all men. The call has gone out. God is calling. And the Bible says, verse 2, who was faithful? Everybody say faithful. To him appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all of his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Everybody say, all things. And Moses indeed was faithful in all of his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. By Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope of him firm to the end. Verse 7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, everybody shout today. There is no other day like today. And I'll remind you that you don't have tomorrow. We are a presumptuous people. We're always assuming, we're always thinking we have the next moment or the next day. But that is not yours. It belongs to God. Today is the day. Everybody shout today. Today, if you will hear His voice, God's speaking, friend. He is speaking like never before. Are we listening as He is speaking? In a lot of ways, He is shouting. He's not just silently speaking under His voice. He's thundering today. Are we listening? If you hear His voice, the Bible says, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and He tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Rick ministered a powerful word here three weeks ago on Wednesday night about entering the Lord's rest. How many knows that God wants us to be in a rest today? I'm not talking about not doing anything, not lifting up your hands, not using or exercising your faith, but I'm talking about walking in a place of God that you don't have to worry and struggle with the things of life. That's called a place of rest. Hallelujah. Beware, brother, lest there be any of you in an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Everybody shout unbelief. But exhort one another daily. That's what we're doing here today. We're exhorting one another, Jenny. Your song was in exhorting one another. When we're praying for one another, we're exhorting. When we're preaching, we're exhorting one another. Exhorting one another. So the Bible said, exhort one another daily. While it is called today, everybody shout today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, and that we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as it was in the day of rebellion. The last three verses. For who, having heard, rebelled indeed? Was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was He angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that would not enter His rest, but to those who did not obey? And verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Everybody say unbelief. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk to you this morning. And you know what? You've said some awesome things about me. But before you leave, you may be taking some of those things back. I want to preach to you about something this morning. I want to preach about sin. Woo! Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's not popular to preach about sin. It's not popular to preach against sin. It's, you know what, we could make a list here, and I could ask you a question. The greatest sin that you thought was ever committed or, you know, lived by humanity. And the list could go on. You could name a lot of sin. You could name the sin of murder. There's a lot of people who think murder is the greatest sin. To take somebody's life, to take an innocent life, to kill an innocent child, to kill. And we look at those things and we are disturbed by the violence and the chaos in this earth today. We're disturbed when we look and see that we think that people can take the life of another human. It bothers us. It does. In fact, you know, the laws of Islam protect people for the most part in those situations. We minister to people behind the wall who have taken people's lives. There are men who we minister to at Mountain City who will never get out. They'll never be released. They'll never see a day of freedom because of taking someone else's life. We know, we think of rape. We think of all those sins and murder. We think of greed. We think of lying. We think of cheating. We think of adultery. We think of, you know, all these kinds of sins as the greatest sin. You know, we look at the word. There have been people ask me before, Pastor, what do you think the greatest sin is? What do you think that the sin that cannot be forgiven would be? I said, well, the Bible only mentions one unforgivable sin, and it says it's the sin against the Holy Ghost. It's the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That means to have experienced the powerful presence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but deny it and say there wasn't anything to it. That's dangerous ground to walk on, my friend. That's dangerous ground to walk on. But this morning, the sin that lays at the heart of humanity that will be his darkest sin is called the sin of unbelief. Because out of the sin of unbelief, you have side effects of this sinful act. When people fail to believe God, they fail to trust in Jesus. When we look today, if you could walk over to the edge of hell, if you could walk over to the edge of destruction, and if that place could be open to you, you could look down in there and you could visit such a dark and a dismal and a tormenting place. You could hear the cries. You could hear the screams. You could almost sense the smell of smoke from their torment. I want to say to you that Jesus preached more on hell than he did in heaven. Why was it important for him to preach more about destruction and death and hell and judgment? Because great is the number of people who will go there. And people will not go there. People are not, who do not become citizens of hell because of murder. Oh, there are murderers there. People are not there because of adultery. Although there are adulterers there. Listen, people do not go there because of lying. There are liars there. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire that burneth forever. Liars will be there, friend. Murderers will be there. Thieves will be there. Rapists will be there. Listen, people who have committed every kind of gross, imaginable sin that you can imagine. But of all the sins that dominate the presence of hell, the greatest sin is the sin of unbelief. Because if you go to hell, friend, you go treading over the blood of God's Son. Because God made a way for you to escape hell and live forever in his presence. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe Jesus made a way? Amen. Oh, there are people today, people that will be there because of their unbelief. People will be there because of their unbelief, because they fail to believe in the Son of God. They fail to trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior. There's only one thing that can get you to heaven. I want to say to you, there are not five ways to heaven. It's not political correctness, I know, because everybody today, there's a new doctrine in the land. There's a strange doctrine in the land that says there's more than one way to heaven. There's more than one way to God. Let me tell you something. There's only one way to God, and that's through his Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, through the shed blood. If you get to heaven, it won't be because you're good. It won't be because you're talented. It won't be because you've done this deed or that deed. It won't be because of your character, your moral substandings. It won't be that. It'll be because you have believed in the Son of God. That you have believed in the Son of God. That you embrace the Son as God's word was declared to you and the call went out. You reached your faith.
reach me your hand, sissy. You reach your faith out. You grabbed a hold of that word and you said, I can believe God for my salvation. Are you saved? Four people saved in this building. Man, we got a big altar call to go. I said, are you saved? Every person in that room should have shouted, jumped to their feet, and said, thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus Christ. Woo! Somebody shout, yes! I believe, and I believe as a body, that we're on the edge of the most dynamic day in your life. The day to come is the best day of your life. The day in front of you is the best day of your life. The yesterday's gone and it's past and we can't go back and undo it. We can't. Oh, there are things in my life that I wish I could go back. I wish I could take my thumb, Amber, and just thumb them out. There are things in my life I wish I could delete. Like on the computer or on my phone, there are things that I'd like to delete, but I can't do it. That's why I need the blood, my friend. That's why you need the blood, my friend. Because that blood is a covering for your sin. And unless you believe that He is, you'll never get there. You'll never enter the rest that God has for you. Not only an eternal rest, not only an eternal place, a citizen of a land that Abraham believed God for. And he said, I'm searching for a city whose builder and maker is God. He left the land of his fathers and he left a place that he didn't even know where he was going. God spoke to him, thundered into his heart, and said, Abram, I want you to go into this land that I will show you. I want to bless you in an abundant way. Why is it that as the children of faith now, we've got past the sin thing. We've got past the place to the place right now that we know that nobody can enter except through the blood, the shed blood of Jesus. Only by believing in that blood for the remission of your sins, for the cleansing of your sin. That's the only way, friend. I'm sorry. You can disagree with this doctrine if you're not. But on this powerful principle hangs the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. On that pendulum, it's receiving that blood for your salvation through faith. That is the gospel, my friend. That is, you got a five. I want more than a smile. I want a five. This is the gospel of grace. This is the gospel of forgiveness. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. And if any man come preaching any other gospel, let him be accursed, because there is no other way except Jesus. One Savior, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Here are we all baptized into one body, by one cross, by one death. I'm about ready to run. I'm about ready to do more than walk on the water. Zach, I'm about ready to walk the pews. If you're not excited about what you're preaching, don't preach anymore. Don't you dare taint the gospel of Jesus Christ with your unbelief. You believe in what you preach. You believe in what you live. If I didn't believe this, I'd stay at home. I wouldn't lift my hands. I wouldn't open the pages of this holy word. So when this Bible, when this scripture Paul penned in Hebrews 3 and 1 and 6 and 7 through 19, he was talking about a day in the nation of Israel. They were at a place that they had stayed at long periods of time. In fact, 38 years, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And most all of that wandering was somewhere in around this place. And this was a place called Kadesh. Kadesh Barnea, which was a crossroads. Listen, church, we're in a crossroads with this gospel. Do we believe it? Well, we say we do believe it. Do we believe that this blood was shed for every sin, for the remission of your sin? Do you believe that you have freedom through that blood? Do you believe that all sin is forgivable through that blood? Well, let me say, there are people who say they do, but yet they're at a crossroads. A crossroads is a road that crosses another road. A place where roads intersect. A point at which a vital decision must be made. So our challenge to you this morning, friend, that we're at a crossroads. Not only individually as a person, the person thing with Christ, but we're at a crossroads as a ministry. What do we do? In other words, at a crossroads, you come to a place where there's an intersection. And if you're driving in traffic, you know there's a light there. There's a stop. If you're at a crossroad, you know you've got to make a decision as far as your driving is concerned. Do I make a left? Do I make a right? Do I go straight ahead? What do I do? Let me say to you, there is no neutral in the kingdom of God. There is no gray area in the kingdom of God. It's black or it's white. It's yes or it's no. It's I will or I won't. There is no such thing as I'm hanging out and I'll make my decision some other time. You make your decision. Remember today, everybody shout today. You don't make your decision tomorrow. You make it today. Today. Today we're at a crossroads. Today, Kadesh is an interesting word because this word in itself means holy. Well, that's a strange word. Holy, in other words, what God is saying, something that is consecrated, something that is devoted or dedicated to some purpose. It was at this crossroad that God spoke to Moses. And he said, Moses, you're at a place now that you need to go forward or you need to go backward. There is no such thing, remember, as the neutral. There's no such thing as the middle. There is no such thing as I'm indecisive. If you're not going forward, you're going backward. Let me say that again. If this ministry is not going forward, we're going backwards. If you're not going forward in your spiritual life, you're going backwards. God challenge today to you with his voice. You're at a crossroads. You're at a place in your life. What are you going to do here? What decision will be made at this intersection of your life? Now listen, this place was a desert oasis. It was one of the greatest places in the Old Testament that Israel, the nation of Israel, stood. It was a place of significance and importance. There is nothing more important than to live your life for Christ. When you come to Jesus, it's not like, Lord, I give you my heart, now follow me. No, when you come to Christ, you give your heart to him and you follow him. You don't come and give your life to Jesus and say, now, Lord, follow me wherever I go. Why I do my own thing, you follow me. Why I make my own major mess ups and mistakes, follow me. And the Lord will be there, friend. I'm not saying he won't be there, But we've got that mixed up in America at the crossroads. We got that mixed up in this nation of modern Christianity. We've got that mixed up. Jesus didn't say, come, take up your cross, and I'll follow you. He said, take your cross up and follow me. Everybody say, I will follow Jesus. It was just that place at Kadesh that the spies were sent out. God told Moses to get the spies and send them out and go into the land. Go into the land. Go into the land of promise. Go in and see if this is a land of milk and honey. Oh, I'm about ready to shout. Go into this land and see if it's everything that God has said it was. I'm going to tell you, if you already know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've already trusted Him and you already believe in Him with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will, amen, and you will confirm this statement that there is no life to be lived greater than the life of blessing, and that's the life of walking and following Jesus Christ. Do I have a witness? I said, do I have a witness? Do I have a witness? Let all those by the web and the net, let all those that are present today be a witness to His powerful grace. You shouldn't have a problem getting up and saying, Jesus, there's no greater life to live than following you. I may mess up. I may feel like giving up. I may stumble and I may fall. But I get back up and I'm still believing. Oh, that the enemy may have had me down. He may have counted me out. But I'm back on my feet. I'm believing for God more than I've ever believed God. Oh, Jesus, I'll tell you, there is something powerful in this place. Don't worry about that. I got so many things. Let's do some lyrics from a little secular song, okay? This is old school. That's the pastor of Lost Creek. We're hurting. Quit being religious. Be real. I believe that's what the message was. This is an R-rated church. I said this is an R-rated church. That means it's real, friend. I serve an R-rated God. He is real. Looking down our skeptical, judgmental noses of religion and counting people out. I'm tired of getting counted out by people. I'm tired of that mess. I ain't about that drama. I ain't going to be in it. I ain't going to be in it. I'm sorry. You can play in it if you want, but I'm not about it. I got too many great things to do in God's kingdom. There's an old song written by, some of you don't even probably heard this, by Otis Redding and Stephen Cooper. It says, sitting on the dock of the bay, sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting in when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in. And then I watch them roll away again. There's a lot of people in their faith are like that. They watch the wave of God roll in. And they're standing there in their unbelief, watching the wave of God roll out. But I'm saying, It's time to rise up and go into your destiny, to walk in your purpose, to walk in God's plan. It's time to get on that wave and go with God. I'll be honest with you, I don't care what people think. I've gone beyond the point of that. Let's be concerned about the King of Glory, what He thinks and what He desires, rather than what man determines for you. Live holy and consecrated and try your best before God, but quit trying to do it in your own strength. Ooh. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay. Watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Wasted time. Here the nation of Israel was on the moment of the greatest day in their life. On the moment of the greatest destiny, the greatest purpose, on the moment of the greatest blessing. Surely it was a land that floweth with milk and honey. And these men were sitting there on the edge of this. And all those struggles leaving Egypt, all the struggles at the Red Sea, all the many. Oh, God had shown Himself great and mighty. 3 days into their journey out of Egypt, they were complaining and murmuring against God. They were wanting to go back. 3 days in their journey. Let me tell you something, ain't nothing to go back to. If you think anything in your life, old life, that you lived and played out is better than Jesus, let me tell you, let me give you an invite. Just go right ahead, go back. But I'll tell you one thing, there's nothing better than following Jesus. There's no life. There'll never be a high like Jesus. There'll never be a high like Jesus. There'll never be a drug that will substitute for Jesus. There'll never will. There'll never be a sexual encounter that will even come close to walking in Jesus. There's not a thrill. There's not a moment. There's not an experience. There's nothing. There's nothing in the past that will take the place of the everlasting love and grace of God's Son. So here they were. They sent out the spies. And He called them by their names in the book of Numbers. He called them by their names. Oh, Numbers 13. They were at this place and they went to explore the land of Canaan, which was given to the Israelites. Verse 1. And every tribe was represented to go into that land. And Moses sent them out of the desert of Paran, which was Kadesh. He sent them to this from that location. And God had seen what the children of Israel had seen what God had done. They saw that God delivered them out of a mighty arm from the hand of Pharaoh. They witnessed the plagues. They witnessed the destruction of the Egyptian army buried under the Red Sea. They knew and experienced the power and knowing what God could do as Moses stretched out his arm, his rod, his faith against that sea. It rolled back and then buried the Egyptians in the pursuit. They saw what God had done as God gave them a pillar of fire to follow by night and a cloud to follow by day. And when they murmured, they still murmured. And still God was long-suffering and not willing that any perish. Oh, constantly Moses would intercede. Let me tell you something. We have an intercessor. His name is Christ Jesus. When you mess up, you got somebody to go between you and God. You got somebody that says, God, that's my child. That's my kid. He's been washed in the blood. He's been purged by the blood. Now, grace, Father. Rick, you should have shouted right there, brother. I gave you the key word, man. Brother's all about that. But grace is a deep word, brother. And here they were. They seen the hand of God. They saw His mighty works. God fed them manna when they complained. And they didn't have the food. They didn't have the delicacies they had in Egypt. Then God sent a manna from heaven. God fed them with the fowls of the air. And they grumbled and complained about the bread. God gave them meat too. They begin to say man in the morning, man at noon, man at night. They begin to grumble, complain. God sent them fowls of the air. God could have wiped the whole nation of Israel out. And here they were. They had seen the hand of God. And here they were at a crossroads. Those men went out and they stayed 40 days. They stayed 48 days, 40 days in the wilderness. In the new land, in the land of Canaan. 40 is an important place, friend. God called Moses up to the mountain, to Mount Sinai, and he gave Moses the law. He was up there 40 days. Remember what happened when he was up there 40 days? Israel began to rebel. They began to rebel against God. They begin to get impatient with the Lord. Sometimes in our Christian walk, we get impatient where we are, at what place spiritually we are with life. And what we try to do as a believer, we try to do it for God. We try to take things in our own hand. We try to call ourselves. We try to determine ourselves, our own destiny. But nobody has your destiny but God. Nobody can walk in you in that destiny except what God has destined you to walk in. So they went to Aaron. They said, Aaron, Moses is not coming back. We need a new pastor. Isn't it strange what things can happen when we get impatient with God? God expands the vision. He lengthens the vision. And if it don't go the way we think it ought to go, we're ready to get another pastor. God not changed His mind. God hasn't changed His mind. Did you hear what I said? Do I need to pick this thing? I said God hasn't changed His mind. Quit trying to do God's job for Him. It's amazing when we get into a hard place in our Christian life that our vision changes. We get against the giants and we said, Lord, I believe God called me to do this. Face your giants. There's giants in the land. And I like what Brother Hollis said just a minute ago. I feel a little bit of religious stuff right now. Can I be honest with you? I feel a little religious stuff right now. I feel a little religious resistance right now. It's all right. God's got it. Randall, God's got it, brother. It don't matter what you think, what I think, what you know, what you think you know. God has it. Wow. A lot of things happened in Kadesh. But there was never a moment like this moment. Because here they were faced with their destiny. This ministry, you as an individual, you're faced with your destiny. Other people have counted you out of this ministry. People have counted you out of your destiny. People have canceled. The enemy has tried to cancel the assignment of God over your life. But I'm here to tell you that we are worshiping a God of second chances. We're worshiping a God that's so long-suffering and patient and not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. God isn't about wiping you out. If He was, He could have wiped you out a long time ago. God's about taking you someplace. God's about doing something in your life greater than yourself. Can I just have a minute or two more? Come on, come on. Is it all right? I only got one on that time. Well, you're going to get it anyway. Oh, Jesus. Oh, man. You know, we're living in two places today. We're living in the walk of abundance or the walk of lack. And of all the places that God wants you to walk in, it's the walk of abundance. God wants you to walk in the abundant life. God wants you to walk in abundance. He wants you to walk in abundance. I want you to turn with me. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians 3 and 20. Powerful scriptures in the Word of God. Chapter 3. So by there shout amen. Now there's a part of my flesh is very curious about what time it is. But I got to write this just a second, Kelly. Because if I don't, I'll disobey the Lord. Okay. Well, I know it's a little later than that. Your clock must have been like mine. It must stop somewhere. Ephesians 3. And Lord, forgive us for being more concerned about that than concerned about your purpose. Oh, man. Ephesians 3. And to know there is a depth of God. There is a depth of God. There is a depth of knowing God that's beyond your imagination, Lexi. Let me preach at you a minute. There is a depth of God. Give me five. That's what that means. There's a depth of God beyond what you can imagine. Hannah, beyond what you can imagine or fathom. There's a depth of God's grace and God's love. There's a depth of God's blessing that we haven't attained to. There's a place in God that we haven't walked in. There's a land you haven't walked in. There's a blessing you haven't received. There's a blessing you haven't given. There's a place in God you haven't walked in. How many believe that? That's where Israel was. And he says, and to know the love that surpasseth knowledge, and to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Whew. I can stand that. Now unto him that is able. Whew. Let's back up and say that. Now unto him that is able. Everybody say, he is able. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what problems. I don't know what struggles that you wrestle with in the hours of night. I don't know what temptations lurk at your door. I don't know what battles really occur in your mind. I don't know what kind of problems that keep coming against you. I don't know how your bills stand. I don't know how your finances stand. I don't know where your struggles in your family. I don't know what kind of situations you're facing. I don't know what dark hour that is before you. I don't know what hopelessness you are embracing right now. I don't know what kind of thing that is looking at you in the face and saying, I'm too big for you to overcome. Let me tell you something. It may be too big for you to overcome, but I know a God who is able. This is not working, right? I said, I know a God who is able. Do you know a God who is able? Do you know a God who's able to open the ears of a little child? Do you know a God who's able to give eyesight to the blind? Do you know a God that can cause a cripple to gain strength in his leg and begin to leap and praise God? Do you know a God who is able to raise the dead to life? Do you know a God who is able to give you life and give you life more abundantly? Then somebody ought to be shouting in his name right now. Lord Jesus, forgive us for being calloused and over-spiritualized. Sometimes we get too spiritual for God. Oh. For He is able to do, if I say exceeding. Wrap your mind around that word for a while. For He's able to do immeasurably. Immeasurably. That means Jason, without measure, without limits. God is able to do in your life that thing that was without limits. That thing is immeasurable. God is able to do in your life. Both of you stand. You see, that which God has called you to do is still before you, saith the Lord. For I've called you to do great things in my kingdom. I've called you to do things that others would not dare to do. I've called you to places that others would not go. I called you to a place with me that others would question. But the Lord says, I'm ready to do exceedingly and abundantly in your life, more than you could ever imagine or think. I believe that God is able. Do you believe that God is able? Do you believe that? Get those pictures of the football players up. Hang on here. I'm about ready. Don't go anywhere, Teb. I'm about ready to grab you and dance with me here just a second. For it's a good land, Will. It's a good land. We've been there. Those spies went there. And 40 days they stayed there. Let me tell you something. 40 is significant in the kingdom of God in the Old Testament because it's a time period that God usually required of men before, during a great test, during a great promise, ready to be released. I'm going to say to you, there's a promise ready to be released in this ministry of the likes you can never fathom. And it's for those who are willing to embrace that word. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe the word? How many wrote the prophecy down the other night that God gave us? Don't expect to remember it. It'll leave. Write the vision down. For there's a land, and they came back. The spies came back. Oh, they come back and they said, yes, Moses, yes, it's everything. Joshua and Caleb come back. The other spies, they came back from the land. And one part of the land, they gathered the fruits of their land. They went over in and they brought the fruits back to show it. Ooh. Whoa! They brought the fruits back to show it. You haven't arrived yet. You haven't arrived yet. You've just now entered the land. There's fruits there. There's fruits there. There's fruits there. There's fruits in this land. Woo! Yeah, I know there's some giants there. Yes, I know there's some addictions there. I know there's some struggles there. I know there's some problems there. Yeah, they're as big as the Lord said they would be. There's enemies. There's giants in this land. But God didn't call us to a station in life, a place in life, that our problems and our giants and our struggles would be alleviated at this cross. God just gave us the determination and the power and the strength to go beyond. To conquer your giants. As a young lady, can I? Most people know it's all right. struggle with addictions and alcohol in her life. But she put her trust and she put her confidence in God. She believed in the blood of Christ. She believed in the mercy and the forgiveness and the restoration. She believed in the transformation of God's Son. She believed in the power of grace, the power of the cross. This young lady, listen, Lost Creek, this young lady is the fruit of that land. I said she's the fruit of that land. Come on, brother, run. The morning he ran into Grace, the morning he was at Kadesh, and he was at a crossroads in his life. That very morning before he got here, he contemplated suicide. Should I end it here or should I go forward? Should I turn back or should I go forward? God's asking you the question this morning. Are you going to turn back in the day of your battle? Psalm 78 and 9. Ephraim was armed and ready for war. They were specimens of warriors. They were archers. They were great men of war. But yet, when the going got tough and the tough got going, let me tell you something. Ephraim turned back and went the other way. I'm asking you this to a ministry. Are you going to turn back or are you going to go forward and find the fruit of this land? Let me tell you something that's going to cause a dead man to shout. This man, who a month and a half before was contemplating suicide, 2 months before, was working and building on a vision at Lost Creek. You know what caused that to happen, Rick? He got a hold of hope. He got a hold of hope, brother. He got a hold of grace. He got a hold of hope. And it turned his world upside down. Hang in there with me. That's all right. We're about ready to close shop. Can you sit down? Can you sit right there? The fruit. You see that? That's fruit. You missed it. You missed it. You missed it. She carries forth the fruit in her. A dream. Come down out of that loft. Run down here, brother. Jump. Like Marines do. This man stormed the houses and communities of Belusia, firing automatic weapons into the faces of the enemy. Escape bullets, bombs and grenades, rocket launchers had danger looking everywhere. Loss of lives of his friends. He came back and tried to solve his issues with alcohol and drugs. Had a near fatal car wreck that put a plastic ankle in his foot and nearly took him out. But then he came to Kadesh. What do I do with my life, Lord? Where do I go from here? Aaron said, I'll choose the Lord. Let me ask you your question. What will you do? Will you choose the Lord? Will you go ahead? Will you follow Him? Will you claim the land that God has destined for you to walk in? Will He's destined you to walk in that? He destined you to walk in that. Can I share? Weeks in alcohol recovery, running from demons and finding the giants of depression and hopelessness. I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. Will, this is bigger than you, bigger than me. This is bigger than a name. It's bigger than a building. It's bigger than a denomination. This is something bigger and greater. So he come to the crossroads in his life. What do I do? He surrendered his life to Christ. He ran into grace. He ran into the cross. He ran into the power of God's love and forgiveness and grace. When people count him out, when people count him down, when people dismissed him, God says, I can do a work in him. I've got a purpose. I've got a plan for him to walk in. Honestly, I'm trying to close. Come here, Reese. Run up here, buddy. This young man I had in school, Kathy, you know what he said? He said, I was a bad kid. I don't know if kids are bad. I think kids do bad things. How about you? Well, a few people believe that. Maybe the teachers don't. Here's a man that got counted out. His destiny before him, a land of promise, a land of milk and honey, where Jesus said, I can do, Reese, in you immeasurably above all you can imagine or think if you will just dare to believe me and trust me. This young man just got, is it okay? He just got out of Bland. He was here last week. First service, wasn't it? And he told his mom, he said, Mom, when I get out, I want to go to the church you're going to. Because God revealed in this young man a land that flows with milk and honey. A land of blessing. A land of promise. A land that is exceedingly abundantly above all that you can imagine in your mind or comprehend. So when life discounted him, when life threw him away, when the agnostics came back and they gave the report, oh, you can't go into that land. Numbers chapter 13, Numbers chapter 14, Deuteronomy chapter 1, chapter 9. When you've been discounted, when the spies that came back and gave the evil report. Listen, friend, if you listen to the shouts and accusations of the public, they'll count you down. They'll count you out. Don't listen to what the devil says. You listen to what God says. God says, I'm able to do something big in your life. Just believe a big God for big things. So the spies, the 10 spies who come back and give the evil report. Yeah, it is a good land. There is good stuff going on there. But you can't do it. Those giants will wipe you out. Those walled cities, they're too fortified. There's too many enemies. There's too... The opposition is too violent. It's too great. You'll never do it. And I like what Joshua and Caleb says. amen to all the above.
Didn't think I was going to say that. Yeah, you did.
You knew I was going to say, didn't you, Rick? All the above, yes. Check, 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 check. All the above, check, check, check. It's everything, yes. It's all that bad stuff, all that bad stuff. Yes, there's problems. Yes, there's struggles. Yes, there are things you're going to still wrestle with. Yes, there's demons you're going to still resist. Yes, there's problems you're going to have to still get the victory over. But yes, to all the above. But we, everybody shout we, are well able to do this. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Give him praise. Life counted you out. Life counted you out. I was just a little Castlewood boy, a little Wright boy out of the hills of Castlewood. I knew his dad. I knew his family. For I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly. You know what? I had a teacher. I had a history teacher in high school. One of the big letdown I had as a sophomore in high school. I had a history teacher stand up, and he looked at all the people in his class, and he called all the ones that were going to succeed. I wasn't one of those. When you've been counted out by your peers, when you've been judged by your adversaries, when the agnostics have doubted you, when the skeptics has dismissed you as foolish, as a dreamer, God says, I've got a dream that's bigger than the dream you can dream. I've got a land that you can walk in that's bigger than any land you've ever known. If you don't believe this, Abraham outside the tent door, considering all the promises of God, God says, look up there, Abraham. Look into the sky. What do you see? He said, I see stars. Oh, Jesus. When God looks at your life, he sees a star. He sees a promise ready to be fulfilled. He sees a destiny that's waiting to be walked in. He sees a promise that's not been claimed. He sees a blessing that's not been given yet. Come here, Hannah. Okay. Oh, man, I scared her. Jaden, come here. Can you bring Preacher Carter up here? Why do you call that young baby a preacher? Because that's what he's going to be. Why don't you start calling your kids what they ain't yet? Call them those things that are not as though they were. Speak blessings over their life. For it is a good land. Thank you, Carter. It's a good land. And we have the fruit of this land. Here's the fruit of this land. Where's Jane? Where did she go? Come here, Jane. For this is a good land. A land of fruitfulness. I didn't mean to scare you, Hannah. Pastor R wasn't trying to scare you, sweetie. This is a good land. Do you believe that, Lexi? Do you believe this is an awesome land? Do you believe that God has a promise for you that you've not walked in yet? I believe that. Everybody, amen for it, Lexi. Yeah. Have one of our teens stand up right now. If you're a teenager, stand up. That's all right, Sister Irma. I still look at you that way. There's a land you've not walked in yet, but you will. Be faithful to the promise. Be faithful to the promise. refuse to go your way and begin to radically walk in His way. And God has called you to be a blessing to the nations. This is where we miss it. We think God saves us just to get us blessed. No, God saves you so you can be a blessing to Him and somebody else. What are you sitting down for? God's called you to be a blessing. Whew, scaring them with a snot and a sweat. I believe this. If I did not believe this, I'd sit down and shut up and let somebody else do it. I believe in what God is doing in this ministry and His kingdom and His people. Now, God says, will you believe me? Well, I do believe God. Are you walking in what you believe? Are you walking? Do you believe enough that you'd walk in what you believe in? Do you believe enough in it that you'd leave everything else behind and walk in what God's called you to walk in? Do you believe that enough? This is how God's going to work this today. You're going to remain in your seat. And if you don't believe God, you don't have to stand up. But we're quick to raise our hands and say, I believe God. We're quick to jump up and down and say, I believe God. But this is at the crossroads in your life and in this ministry. Do you believe enough in what God is doing? Amen, Eddie. You should be up here too, Eddie. You should be up here too, buddy. He got counted out. He counted in now. Life counted him out. Today, you know what God says? God's going to bring glory, and He's going to bring glory out of the least expected places that you could ever imagine to glorify His kingdom. God's going to get glory if He has to get it out of the mouth of suckling babes. If He has to get it out of the mouths of little children. If He has to get it out of people who've been released from prisons, who struggled with addictions, who struggle with alcohol and all kinds of sin. Listen, this room is rampant. There's nobody in this room that can count somebody out and count yourself in because you thought that their sin was greater than your sin. Let me... Don't you dare play that religious game. Don't you dare play that religious game. We've all sinned. We've all come short. And the sin that will get you eternal judgment will be the sin of unbelief. So Jesus would just take, He'd rather just have the misfits that life has counted out and gather them all together and put their broken pieces back together and use them for His glory. And use them for His honor. To live in a destiny of building broken young men. To build character. To build faith. To build hope in the lives of young men. That's what God's doing. Can't you see this, friend? That's what God's doing. That's what God's doing. We are well able, everybody say we are well able to take this land, to walk in our promise, our destiny. Come here, Harless. Transport Preacher Carter to somebody else. Come here, Rick. You just get behind him. That's okay. This is not the end. This is not the end of our goal. Get some kind of big fancy building up there and say, boy, look where we are. We've arrived. No, 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 no. You missed it. You missed it. That's the means. That's a tool to go farther than we've been before, to reach more people. And if, listen, if the consistently overcrowding of seats and the overcrowding of parking spaces and people coming and having to leave because they can't find a place to give in. Oh God, give us 4 men that will climb up on the wall and tear the tile, the roof off, and let people down to see Jesus. Give me 4 people, God, that will change things, change the world, change their atmosphere, and get people to Jesus. God told me this morning, there's not a one of us would think twice about going and paying $30,000 for a vehicle. Oh, but Lord, this is steep. This is expensive. This is pricey. What's it worth? If it's just a building, it's just a building. You'll never be a contributor. But unless you wrap your heart around something bigger than you are, you'll never walk in the land. You'll never walk in the promise. But God says, I'm just looking for somebody that will take the tile off the roof and do whatever needs to be done to get people to Jesus. Can you guys go back there and stand? I'm glad you got him, because that's just as much about him as it is the man that's carrying him. That's your children and their children. And when I'm only a memory, maybe. Who is that? Who is that old crazy preacher that was a teacher? What was his name? Mr. McReynolds? Pastor R.S.? What? R? Your children will walk in it. C.A., your grandchildren will walk in it. What you're working in today, your children and their children will walk in. That's what he said when he said, Abram, look up the stars. Why, they're vast, Lord. I can't count them all. God says, that's how many my blessings are, Abram. If you'll begin to walk in them, that's how I want to bless you today. God wants to bless you, friend. God isn't trying to discount you. He wants to bless you exceedingly abundantly. I know we've taken just a little bit of time, but today I'm going to ask you a question. You see, I could go back to the book of Hebrews and I could say, oh, look at the hall of faith. Woo! Look at the Enochs. Look at the Moseses. Look at the Abrahams. Look at all... No. I didn't even know those people. I read about it and I'm inspired by it. It's God's Word. And God put them there to inspire us, to teach us, to show us. But here's the hall of fame. Here's the hall of faith. Here's the hall of faith. The hall of faith are those that are willing to say, God, I'll follow you. I'll believe in this dream. I'll believe in what you want to do in my life, Lord. If that's you, this is going to be a quick count to 3. And if you believe, I want you to come. I don't know if it's, yeah, it's possible. I started to say it's not possible. Whoa, oh, goodness sakes. I want you to come and stand. On the count of 3, if you believe that and if you're able, if you're not able, you can stand right there where you are. If you're not able, if you don't believe, that's for you, then you just sit right there. I don't want you to move because somebody else is moving. I don't want you to move because somebody's putting pressure on your move. If I don't move, they're going to think I'm messed up. No, they won't. But if you can believe God that this is for you, Willie and your family and their children and their children. Helen, come here. 2 years ago, I specifically remembered this. I specifically remember you standing right here, crying out and interceding and prayer requesting for your children who needed God in their life. Every single one of her children are walking in Jesus today. You know why? She kept walking. She kept walking. She kept walking. She kept believing. She kept believing. One, will you believe God? Two, if you do, I want you to join your faith with these people. Three, every person in this room, I want all those that's on the internet to see and witness this. There are people that are in Southwest Virginia who believe that God is able. Believe that God is able. Do we believe that God is able, my friends? Do we believe? Do we believe not only for ourselves? Do we believe for those that are viewing? Do we believe those that are listening in? Do we believe that God can change the world? And if you're here today struggling with unbelief, Lord, there's doubts. There's fear in my heart. There's doubts and fears in all of our heart. How many will slip their hands and say, I've had doubts and I've had fears? Could you slip your hand if you're real here today? I want us to keep our hands lifted to Jesus right now. I pray every fear, every doubt be eradicated right now. Every fear be dismissed. Like the chaff blown by the wind, I pray, Father, that powerful faith would rise up. A faith to believe God in something greater than ourselves. To believe in you, Lord. To believe in you. To walk in your destiny and your purpose. We believe that, Lord. Help our unbelief. Help our unbelief, Lord. We believe you, Jesus. We believe you for our children. We believe you for our family that's still unsaved. We believe you for our neighbors, our friends, our classmates, Lord. We believe you, Father. We believe you for our work co-workers, Lord. We believe you, Father. We believe you, Lord. We believe. Help us. Give us strength to walk in that powerful destiny and purpose today. In Jesus' powerful name. In Jesus' powerful name. In Jesus' powerful name. In Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Do we believe the Lord today? Come on, give Him a shout of praise. Do you believe that, Chrissy? Do you believe that? Even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of trials, do you believe it? When the devil says no, we say yes. Amen? Everybody shout yes. You all are awesome people. You see, I believe that. I don't believe in that building. I don't believe in that object that's structured with brick and rock and mortar and timber. I believe in the God who is behind that vision. I believe. Because that has to do with you and your children and their children. I see your grandchildren being saved there. I see your children being baptized there. I see your cousins. I see your friends prophesying. I see them preaching the gospel. I believe that. I believe that. Amen. I don't know if it's possible tonight. Brother Harless, can you all bring that up there and stand right in the midst above them, about there where Heath is? Heath, I want you to close us out in a powerful prayer, my brother. I want us to interlock our faith right now with somebody in this crowd, in this group. I want you to interlock your faith. Grasp somebody's hand and say, I believe. I believe with you. I believe in the cross. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for a vision, Lord. Lord, a vision that's bigger than us, Lord. A vision that's not about man or ego. A vision that's not about agendas, Lord, or denomination or religion. But an agenda that is old as time itself, but as fresh and new as this moment you've ordained. A vision about your Son, Jesus. A vision about a cross. A vision about the wars and the dirt, Lord, that the society and religion has left behind. Those that are left to wallow in the dirt, Lord. A vision to go after them. A vision to go where others won't go. A vision to see things as you see things. Not as man sees, but as you see, Lord. Lord, let each and every man, woman, boy, or girl, let each and every one of us, Lord, capture that vision. Let each and every one of us live that vision. Let that vision burn in our hearts like never before. Let that vision keep us up at night. Oh, Lord, that's a tough prayer. But let that vision burn and burn and change the way we walk. Change the way we talk. Change the things we're about. Change the things that we think about. Change the way we act around our family, our community, and our jobs, Lord. May we never be the same, Lord. Lord, may we leave this place a different people, a different people, a different ministry, different families, different individuals, Lord. May we never be the same from this day forward, Lord. World changers, Lord. Destiny makers, Lord. Dream walkers, Lord. Sleepers awake. Awake sleeper. Awake dreamer. Awake boys and girls, men and women. Awake today and go and do what God has called us to do. In your name, in the name of Jesus, Yeshua, Son of God, Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ, who hung between heaven and earth, but who conquered death, hell, and the grave, and who has ordained this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.